Okay, Becky, let's think a minute about the job opportunities and that sort of thing in Diboll. Do you feel like the Hispanics have an opportunity here to work at jobs that they can advance in and that sort of thing?
Well, I'm sure they would if they have a chance, really, because not just in Diboll, but in the East Texas area. I believe that because you're a Mexican, you're just a Mexican. I mean, you know, you have no quality, no credentials or whatever, you know. And they, a lot of times, when if a Mexican-American goes to ask for a job, like me, if I were to go to ask for a job, when I walk in the door, they see me as a Mexican. They don't see me as a Mexican-American or anything. And they believe that because all people from Mexico come here to work for lower wages, that all Mexicans are here for the same reason, which is not true. I don't like to go to a place and to be looked at as that I don't have any right to be here, because I believe that I have, in fact, a lot more right than a lot of other people here.
Yeah.
Because I'm an American.
Right.
And they think that, they say that people from, the Mexicans come to take the jobs away, and maybe so. Some do, the ones that are not legal, which come from Mexico, but not the ones that are living here, that are really Mexican-Americans. They're here for the same reason that you are or anybody else is. Right. And that they're here because they want to either get a better job, go higher in whatever, you know, type of job they already have. And so I feel like sometimes they classify one as one Mexican. All Mexicans are the same, you know, which is not true.
Right.
And,
you know, it's funny, but I can't imagine working for lower than the minimum wage anyway. I don't know how you can make ends meet.
Well, true. That's like what I'm saying. Like me, I can't. Right. I can't. My husband can't either. My brothers can't either. The people that live here that are natural born American citizens, or even the ones that have a passport, because they are legally here.
Right.
They've paid money to go to the American U.S. Consul to give reasons why they want to become
American citizens.
Right.
Right.
Eventually they'll either apply for citizenship, they have to take a class, and if they pass their test, they become American citizens. Now there's a lot of people in East Texas that have passport that are legal here. There's a lot of people that are not, you know, just because, and of course, people that have passport, some do not speak English. Just like if, you know, if you were coming from Korea, if you did Vietnam, these Vietnamese that come from Vietnam, they speak no English, and they have to have a passport to come to the United States, to live in the United States, the same way like some of these Mexican people. They have to have a passport to live in Texas, I mean, live in the United States.
Be a hard thing to contend with. Do you feel like within the company here, within Temple, since they initially initiated the program and said, we want your labor, we want you here, do you feel like you have a better opportunity to advance in the company, that Romero has a good opportunity to advance here as opposed to maybe somewhere else? Or another company in East Texas?
I don't know. Probably if he would have applied at Lufkin Industries in 69 and would have worked for him, and I feel like he's a good employee. He's gone this far, so I'm sure he is.
He's still working anyway.
You're right. He's still working. And he started off working for $1.65 an hour. At that time, it was a minimum wage, $1.65. Right. And I bet Romero has not missed 10 days in 15 years. Because he's always at his job every day. And now that he's a foreman, well, he's got more responsibility.
Right. And so he has really advanced in his...
Right. He has advanced in his job.
Since he's been...
Yeah. And there's a lot of other people...
Do you think there's an opportunity for management for him?
I don't know. I don't know if you know, I would...
You know, I wonder really about that sometimes, whether...
Yeah.
You know, you get locked into a job situation.
Yeah. I don't know. I really don't. I can't answer that question right now. I don't know.
Okay. tell me some differences you see between Dieball as it was when you came in 69 to now.
It's a lot changed.
That's not that many years, really.
No.
You get down to, about 16 or so?
16.
Yeah.
Well, we moved to Dieball. There was only the drugstore, which was Rexall at that time, the Village.
Oh, in the Village, uh-huh. Okay.
Excuse me, and there was, of course, Baskin. I don't remember if it was called Baskin's or what it was called at that time. I can't remember.
But it was across the highway, like
right.
It
was all where Brookshire Brothers is, all that little area in there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a Dairy Cream. Now, it was not a Dairy Queen, it was a Dairy Cream at that time. And, of course, a little theater that's down there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. And Pavlik's, which was owned by Mr. Pavlik or managed by Mr. Pavlik, whatever.
And that was the only grocery store beside...
As far as I can remember, yes.
Well, they had that little one over across the tracks.
Oh, yeah, Stovall's.
Yeah, Stovall's.
Yeah. But, and oh, yes, Mr. Lee had a store where Jiffy Mart, where State Farm Insurance is at,
mm-hmm,
right now, and Poland's Real Estate. It was Mr. Lee's store there.
Oh. Was it a grocery store?
Uh-huh. A little grocery store.
Mm-hmm. When did Berkshire's come in?
I remember when you was Piggly Wiggly before Brookshire.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think.
Oh, I didn't
know that. Perry's, before Perry's came, it was Brookshire's. And then before Brookshire's, it was Piggly Wiggly. And then they, Brookshire's built theirs, and Perry's ended up taking that store. But I don't remember.
Hmm.
I don't even remember what was on that area, other than the drugstore. Dick's Pharmacy.
And the Pine Bough was there.
The Pine Bough was in that area.
Yeah.
No, Pine Bough was right there where the bank was.
Yeah. Or,
Western Auto was in that area where White Title Store is now. And
okay, so it was all over on the other side of the highway.
Right. There was no Tinsley. There was no Dairy Queen. There was no Western Auto.
And Baskin's.
Yeah, and Baskin's and the City Hall and the... City Hall was there, the police department wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no Jiffy Mart, no OK's. And of course, Max Pack's been built, and the car wash, and
Sonic,
you know. So it's growing.
Yeah.
It's growing. When I moved here, to me, it was, you know, so kind of, it was nothing. To me, it was bare because I came from a district that had 12 elementaries and one high school and a university, so it was, God, what am I doing here?
Little tiny.
And then you came to school here, and I was used to, like, playing softball and basketball and everything, and there was nothing, I mean, absolutely nothing for girls at that time, you know. And I thought, God, this is horrible. What am I doing here? You know, this is not, I don't want to go to school here. And in Edinburgh, Texas, there's 700-800 high school graduates when it comes to graduation, you know, so it's a big district.
Yeah.
All these little towns that, like Burke and Beulah and all those areas around Edinburgh come to Edinburgh schools, district. So, you
so
know,
it just makes it real big.
And now it's even bigger. They have two junior highs, I think.
Mm.
12 elementaries and two junior highs and the high school and the university.
So it made it a lot of difference when you first moved here. Now, the show now only shows, you know, the Mexican or Spanish films.
Mm-hmm.
When did they change over? How long is that?
I don't know. Tell you the truth, I don't remember because first, I've never been there. Maybe one time when they opened it, we went to see this funny movie. But after that, we've never been back. So my kids
have never been?
No, they've never been there.
Mm.
And especially my son, if I tell him to go watch a Mexican movie, he thinks I'm crazy. He thinks he ought to see all speaking English movies, which I think it's wrong also because, to me, he's going to learn both languages and he's going to speak both languages, whether he likes it or not. I'm a Mexican-American and that's what he's going to learn. It's Spanish.
Yeah. And that's so much better than being one language. But, you know.
To me, I think it's wrong. It's wrong when you're from Mexican descent and you expect your kids to speak all English.
You don't necessarily have to speak all English mm-hmm. or all Spanish. You can still communicate. Because mm-hmm. when I went to school, that there was Mexicans and whites in school, and then we all spoke English. Mm-hmm. We were taught in English.
Yeah.
And not only that, my parents also spoke English, so it wasn't really hard for us.
Mm-hmm.
But, I can understand where some kids' parents don't speak any English, and
they have some problems.
Yeah, they have some problems.
Yeah.
But I feel like my family, anyway, we can all get together at Christmas or any celebration, a birthday or any Mother's Day or Father's Day, whatever. And we can sit outside in the yard, and half of our conversations in Spanish and the other half's in English, or two or three words are in English and the rest are in Spanish. But we know what we're talking about because we're so used to it, it doesn't bother us.
Yeah.
And it's not hard for me.
I envy you to be able to do that, because I'm going, my one or two little words that I can pick up here.
And our kids are the same way. They're used to hearing both languages, so to them, they use both languages.
Yeah. Orlando doesn't use it as much, though, as Patricia does he?
No, he doesn't. He really doesn't, but I force him to. Mm-hmm. I make him use it.
He doesn't have any trouble understanding anybody, does he?
No, he has no trouble at all. He understands perfectly well. he's just... Now, he may want you to think he doesn't, but...
But he does.
Right. I feel like maybe when he gets older, he'll start using it more. Spanish,
mm-hmm.
he'll care more about it. Because Patricia was like that when she was little. All she wanted to speak was English. She didn't care for Spanish, but eventually she started where she... In fact, she's learned to read a little bit of Spanish herself, And just because you're Mexican does not mean you can read and write in Spanish, because you can't, really. I have some of my sisters and brothers that can't at all. If you ask them to write something for you in Spanish, they'll tell you, go find somebody else, because I can't do it.
Oh, you're
kidding.
And
when I went to school in Edinburgh, 90% of the teachers in South Texas are Mexican Americans, but they don't speak to you in Spanish. They speak to you in English. And when I went to junior high, when I was in junior high in Edinburgh, I took a Spanish course 3 years so I could learn the correct Spanish, read it and write it.
Oh.
And, you have to practice it just like English.
Yeah.
Just like people that have never been to school. And you give them a book, they can't read it in English. Doesn't necessarily mean because they're white they can do it.
That's right. But, we don't think anything about it. But what we take English, the kids start in fifth grade taking mm-hmm. English as a subject.
Right.
And they take it for 7 years.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, there's correct ways to do Spanish.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, my family, I have a couple of sisters. Well, two of them have taken Spanish in school to learn to read and write it.
Mm-hmm.
But Linda, Rosalinda, doesn't know how to write and read Spanish. Rainy doesn't know how to read and write in Spanish. Ruben, you couldn't tell you anything in Spanish. As far as reading mm-hmm. and writing, because he's never practiced it. He's never had a course to it. And the time it's offered in school is what you would call conversational Spanish, just to communicate with the person.
Mm-hmm.
And what Ruben needs is like an English class, but in Spanish.
In Spanish. I think you'll get that in high school, really, from what I understand mm-hmm. about it, because Tina Kellum teaches it. Mm-hmm. And she's...
And it's not easy.
It's hard.
Right.
That they come in thinking... That it's easy because they can speak Spanish.
I can vouch for that. It's not. When you're asked to write theme papers in Spanish, it's not easy at all.
Have to know when to put your period, don't you?
Right.
Oh, man. Were there any, when you went to school here, was there any concessions to you for you being bilingual? I mean, say somebody moved with you mm-hmm. that could only speak Spanish. What happened to them in school? How did they cope with that? Of course, there wasn't any in your group, were there?
I don't remember. I don't think so. There was one young fellow named Armando Flores, in which he speaks real good English now. That came to school here. I think he was like in seventh or eighth grade also at that time. And he had a hard time, but he's a pretty smart fellow, so he picked it up pretty fast.
Well, when did the bilingual program come in to being then?
oh, to be exact, I think about maybe 8 years, something like that.
Almost as long as you've been
there, yeah. I don't approve of it.
Why? What are your reasons?
My reasons are that.
Let's hear you.
When I went to school, there was no such thing as bilingual. And like I said, 90% of the teachers were Mexican-Americans. Mm-hmm. 100% of the kids were
Mexican-Americans. Yeah.
Right, Mexican-Americans. And that's all we spoke was English. We were not allowed to use Spanish in the classroom. We were allowed to use it out in the playground, or
mm-hmm.
PE,
yeah.
or anything, but we were not allowed to use it during class.
Mm-hmm.
And to us, it was all right. It didn't bother us. And to me, I feel like if a child is taught in English when he is in the kindergarten or first grade, he learns a lot quicker than he does in Spanish. I wouldn't approve of it. If they told me that my child had to go into a bilingual class, I think I'd have a fit.
For you, that's putting it mildly.
Yes, I would hit the ceiling, because to me, I don't think it's right. That's not on, is it?
Yeah.